All the time. Amen. Welcome, everybody. I also want to welcome all those that are watching online. Let's give it up for the online audience that are watching online. We welcome you as well. And we invite everybody to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is going to be our focus this afternoon. I hope you brought your Bibles and you got your study guide and you get ready to write some notes, because what I'm about to teach you this afternoon is one of the greatest blessings of the New Testament. And I really believe that this is going to set a lot of people free from depression. It's going to set you free from low self-esteem. It's going to set you free from doubt and fear. I really believe that what we're teaching today has the potential to set many people free. So I pray that you come expecting to hear from God, to look at His Word, and that you receive what the Lord would have you to learn today. Oftentimes, Jesus in the Gospels, He would say, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. I don't know what the LBC translation of that is, so I just say the same thing. we've been studying from the subject revolutionary weapons, and we're learning that God has given us weapons whereby we enforce the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives. He's given us these weapons to enforce the victory of Jesus in our lives and in our communities and wherever we go. We are called to be soldiers in the army of God, and we have weapons. Some say weapons. We have weapons. They're designed not so that you can look cute. They're designed not so that you can look pretty, but they're designed so that you can do battle and bring home some victories. I want to commission you this afternoon to bring home some victories. You know, the times where you felt like saying something, but you kept quiet. That's a victory. You know, the time where you felt like snapping, but you didn't. That's a victory. I want to commission you today to bring home some victories for the kingdom of God. By the way, I want to celebrate our deaf ministry today. Give it up for our deaf ministry right here. Yesterday, we had a revival with our deaf ministry, and over 100 people came to our deaf gathering yesterday, filled up the fellowship hall to the glory of God. Everybody go like this, to the glory of God. And so we love you guys, and keep allowing Jesus to use you to reach this generation. Can I get amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Should have been there already. I gave you 10 minutes to get there. Reads like this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, someone say therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And here's the last phrase is our focus this afternoon: with the breastplate of righteousness in place. I'm going to say that again. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. Everybody say righteousness. We are going to be studying today what it means to be righteous and what the Bible teaches about righteousness. Now, this is one of the greatest blessings of the New Testament apart from salvation. If you learn what it means to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, It will revolutionize the way you live in this world. It will revolutionize the way you operate in this world. One of the main reasons why the enemy gets believers to live in defeat is that he gets them to take off the breastplate of righteousness. He gets them to take off the breastplate of righteousness. And when you take it off, you subject yourself to the attack of the enemy. Now, there are several reasons I want to point out why the breastplate of righteousness is very important, and you can follow along in your study guide. But the number one is that it protects our heart. The breastplate is essentially a chest protector. It protects our heart. Now, you could be shot in the toe and still survive. You could be shot in the arm and still win a victory. You could even have an eye plucked out and still win some battles. But if you get hit in the heart, it's over. It's done. Game over. And the number one reason how the enemy creeps into our life and leads us to leave defeated lifestyles is because we leave our hearts open to the attack of the enemy by taking off our breastplate. And the heart is probably the most critical thing that you need to protect in your Christian life. Look how important it is, for in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, above all else, above all else. If you think about it, the reason why you work is because your heart pumps. Think about that for a second. Your heart pumps blood, or it pumps life into the rest of your body. And the reason why the rest of your body works is because your heart works. If your heart is infected, it will infect everything about you. This is why the heart is so critical to protect, is because the spiritual heart pumps the life of God throughout your spiritual being. And if the enemy can punch a hole in your spiritual heart, he will affect everything about you. So it's important that every day we put on the breastplate, which guards and protects our vital organs in life, and don't allow the enemy to shoot you through the heart. Another reason why righteousness is important is because wrongness invites demonic activity. Wrongness invites demonic activity. The opposite of righteousness is wrongness. I'm going to say that again. The opposite of righteousness is wrongness. Now, I want to pull the covers off of the enemy, because too many of us in our generation take wrongness too lightly. We take wrongness too lightly, and we're wondering why we're suffering losses in the kingdom of God. Wrongness invites demonic activity. I'm going to say this again. Wrongness is not just wrong. Demons function in the realm of wrongness. Demons function in the realm of wrongness, and many Christians give the devil legal right to operate in their life based on the wrongness in their life. I'm gonna say this again, because this is so critical. Wrongness is not just wrong. Wrongness is an invitation for demonic activity in our life, and there's too many Christians that are opening the door for demonic activity, and we wonder why we never get total victory in our life. We wonder why. Because you've opened the door, and you've given the devil and his demons and his imps legal right to operate in your life through your wrongness. I got to break this down a little bit more. I got to help you see this. I got to help you see this. If you allow your living room to be filled with trash, eventually your trash is not your main problem. If you allow your living room to be filled with trash, that trash becomes an invitation for roaches and rats. Are you following along? If you allow your living room to be filled with trash, eventually that trash becomes an invitation for roaches and rats, and the roaches and rats makes a bad thing worse. And so the roaches, they sense the trash in your living room, and they tell their buddies. They tell their buddies, hey, we just got an invitation into that living room. We just got an invitation into that living room, and now your trash is not your main problem. Your main problem is the roaches and the rats that are infesting your house. Do me a favor and touch your neighbor and say, take out the trash. Take out the trash. Take out the trash. Who wants to deal with rats and roaches? Who? I don't know who wants to deal with roaches and rats. Who wants to deal with roaches and rats? I'm telling you, a lot of us are dealing with roaches and rats. We're dealing with roaches and rats. And see, I gotta get you to get this. Listen, you start off dealing with the habit of lust. And if you don't deal with it, eventually you're wrestling with the spirit of lust. You start off with the habit of anger and have an emotional outburst, and it starts off as a habit. But if you don't deal with it, eventually it becomes a spirit of anger, demonic activity that is holding you up like a puppet. You start off with the problem of addiction. It's a habit. You start off, it's a habit. But if you don't deal with it, it becomes a spirit of addiction, because the demonic realm looks in your living room and they sense the trash and they tell their buddies, hey, the bell just rang and we got an invitation into that sister's house. And they come into your house and they make a bad thing worse. And all along, you're saying, God, deliver me. God, deliver me. And God is saying, you invited them into your house. You invited in the house because you didn't want to deal with the trash. You ignored the trash. You tried to sweep the trash underneath the bed. You walked around the trash. And eventually the trash became an invitation for demonic activity. Listen, wrongness is not just wrong. That's why the Bible tells us over and over to repent and to turn from our wicked sins so that God can help us out. So that God can help us out. We don't want to deal with no rats and roaches. I don't like them. They make a bad thing worse. I got to confess something to you. You ain't going to judge me, right? I got to confess to you, brother, Pastor Nelson. I don't like rats and roaches. I don't like anything that looks like roaches. I just don't like them. I was in my office this morning, and I go there in the morning to pray, to meditate, and I sit on the ground. I have a pillow. I sit on the ground. And I had my computer. I was listening to some worship songs. The new song, Reckless Love, right? I was meditating upon that. And I'm like this. And I see a shadow. I'm on the ground. I see a shadow. And I look. At first, just a split second, I thought it was a demon. I don't normally see demons, but just something in my mind. And then right immediately after that, I said, no, it's probably a water bug. And just those two thoughts came into my mind. But I looked, and nothing happened. I didn't see anything else. So quickly, my mind got to ease. I'm focusing on the Lord again, I'm focusing on the Lord. And all of a sudden, a minute later, a big old gigantic bodacious water bug comes slithering out. And it almost got on my leg. And I like to say I got up in the name of Jesus, and I took authority over that water bug that looks like a cockroach. I like to say that. I wish I had that testimony today. I wish I had that testimony, but I don't got it. Don't judge me, all right? Don't judge me. That thing slithered so close to my leg that I said, ah! And my wife, she jumped out of bed, and she almost kicked down the door, and she was about to cast the devil out. She almost broke down that door. She said, what is it? What is it? I said, never mind. And she saved me. She went and got the water bug. Amen. I don't like dealing with roaches and rats and water bugs and anything that looks like it. That's hot off the press. That just can't happen today. So righteousness is important because the opposite of righteousness, wrongness, invites demonic activity. But righteousness is also important because it brings God's blessings. It brings God's blessings. Hear me today. Demons function on wrongness. God functions on righteousness. Did you catch that? Just like the demons functions in the area of wrongness, God is attracted to righteousness because he is righteous. And when you operate in righteousness, you position yourself for a blessing from God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they. God operates in the realm of righteousness. And when you live out and walk in righteousness, you give them something to bless. And I don't know about you, but I like a blessing. I like a blessing. I love to be blessed. In fact, Proverbs 11:28 says, the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Says the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And the word flourish means to abundantly blossom. It means to abundantly blossom. In other words, your life will be an example of the power of God. In other words, your marriage will be an example of the favor of God. God will deal so good with you that he will hold you up high and you will become an example of all that he can do. I don't know about you, but I want to be an example of what God can do. I want my life to be an example. Lord, use my life. If you want to pour out a blessing, if you want to pour out some power, use my life. I'm tired of being a piñata for the devil. By the way, happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm tired of being a piñata for the devil. I want to be something that God can bless. So righteousness, it invites God's blessing. It brings God's blessing. It even blesses your prayer life. It blesses your prayer life. Listen to this, 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. It blows my mind that God would even hear us, let alone answer our prayer. But the righteous not only have the right to speak to God, but they have the right to expect God to answer. That's what the scripture says. It says God is attentive to the prayer of the righteous. This is a benefit of being a part of the kingdom of God. Listen, if you're part of the cabinet of the president, you have the ear of the president. If you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, you have the ear of God Almighty. This is a benefit. Don't blow it. And we have this gift, we have this blessing to be able to stand before God and not only speak, but to expect him to answer. Now, I want to deal with what is righteousness. I want to give you an understanding of what righteousness is. And I'm going to give you some definition to righteousness. There are two basic types of righteousness. There's a practical righteousness. And then there's a positional righteousness. There's practical righteousness. Then there's positional righteousness. And I want to talk a little bit about them first. I'm going to talk about the practical side first. The practical side of righteousness is living out God's standard for your life. So righteousness is God's standard for living. Righteousness is God's standard for living. So when you talk about the practical side of righteousness, it's living out God's standard for your life. How many know that God has a standard for you? God has a standard for our life. God has a standard for our marriage. God has a standard for our family. God has a standard for your business. God has a standard for the way you think. God has a standard for the way you live. God has a standard for the way you speak. And let's look at Psalms 119, 172. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. God's truth is his standard. God's word is his standard. God's commands are his standard. That's why the armor of God starts off with the belt of truth, right? When you get to the breastplate, it is the application of God's standard or his truth. Are you following along? It is the application. God's truth is his standard. God's word is his standard. God's commands are his standard. Listen, once we enter into the kingdom of God, once we become kingdom citizens, once we become born again, you cannot just live any way you want to live. Once you become a kingdom citizen, you can't just talk any way you want to talk. Once you become a kingdom citizen, you can't think any way you want to think. You can't behave any way you want to behave. Once you become a kingdom citizen, you can't just have sex with anybody you want to have sex with. I knew I wasn't going to get too many amens off that. God has a standard for kingdom citizens, and the more we strive to meet this standard, the more glory he gets in this world. We cannot be a standardless nation. We cannot be a standardless kingdom. No, if you ain't got no standards, you're part of the wrong kingdom, my brother, my sister. Because the kingdom of God has standards where we are to strive for. You cannot act any way you want to act, soldier. Can you imagine a personnel in the United States military joining the military and say, I'm going to show up when I feel like showing up. I'm going to do them push-ups when I feel like doing my push-ups. It ain't happening. There's standards. Standard. God, righteousness is living out God's standard. Now, let me tell you something. God doesn't put standards upon your life to hold you down. God doesn't put standards upon your life to hold you down. God ain't into holding you down. God ain't into putting you into a headlock. He's putting standards on your life to bless your life. He's putting standards in your life to protect you. He's putting standards in your life so that he can flow in your life. But the more you ignore the standards of God, the more you block the blessings of God in your life. Stop blocking the blessings. The problem with a lot of us in our generation is that we're lowering the standards of God. And we think it's okay, but it's not. We're lowering the standards of God, and we think he is pleased with us, but he is not. And we're wondering why our prayers are not getting answered. We're wondering why we're not getting revelation from his word, because you're lowering the standard, and it's not okay. It's not okay. Not if you're a kingdom citizen. I've been playing basketball for about 20 years now. And thank you. And through the years, at different times, I've developed several signature moves. Yeah, signature moves. At one time in my life, I had this cold backboard shot. They called me Baby Duncan. I ain't lying. I would back somebody down, and then I'll turn around and hit the backboard and make it in. I had it. I don't have it now, but I used to have it. And I got this cold hook shot. Whew, Kareem Abdul, sky hook. I still got it. Ask somebody. Right? It's undefendable. Ask somebody. One thing I could never do is slam dunk. As tall as I am, I could never slam dunk. I want to slam dunk. I've dreamed of slam dunking. I've dreamed of slam dunking, and I know why. I know why God don't allow me to slam dunk. It's a personal reason. I know why God don't allow me to slam dunk, because I would slam on everybody. I wouldn't be in control. I'd just be slamming on all the pastors and everybody. But that's a personal problem. That's a personal problem. The rim is 10 feet tall, approximately. That's the standard rim. And as bad as I wanted to slam dunk, I could never slam dunk. But one time, in my zeal to slam, when no one was looking, I went and I lowered the rim. And let me tell you something. I started slam dunking that thing. Whacka! I was doing tomahawk dunks. I was doing reverse dunks. I was doing, you know, just a bunch of dunks. And I got excited. I was feeling good. Like, I was envisioning people in front of me and just whacka, right? And I felt really good until somebody busted my bubble. You know what they told me? They said, "I don't know why you're so excited." I said, "What do you mean why? I'm slam dunking." He said, "I don't know why you're so excited. You're not slam dunking. You lowered the rim. Those don't count. They don't count. And no matter how good you feel, it does not count. It doesn't count." And you know what? That is a picture. He was right. That is a picture of a lot of us in our generation. We're lowering the rim, and we think we're doing something, but we're not. We think God is okay with us, but we're not. We're lowering the standard. We're lowering the rim. You know how we do it? You know how we do it? We go like this. We go, "Well, I don't have to marry him. I'll just sleep with him. God understands." Yeah, God understands, and it ain't good. And now we're lowering the rim. We say, here's one of the things we say. "Well, God knows my heart." And fill in the blank. And yes, God knows your heart, but it's not good. It's not good. And we're lowering the rim. And some of us are cutting corners in our life. And what we're doing, listen, I want to set you free. I'm saying this out of love. This is what we're doing. We're doing two things. Number one, we're inviting demons into our life. And number two, we're blocking the blessings of God. Oh, man, when you start inviting demons and you block the blessings of God, you're in a world of trouble. You're in a world of trouble. That's why it's so important. So important to live out and to seek after and to pursue God's righteousness. The Bible actually says that in 1 Timothy, pursue righteousness. So that's the practical side of righteousness. That's the practical. There's one more side to it that is even more important. It's even more important than the first side. And this is the positional side of righteousness. This is the positional side. And righteousness is also God's gift. God's gift of freedom from guilt. Listen to the positional side. The Lord wants me to teach this to God's people in our generation is because the devil has tricked us into carrying our sin into the kingdom of God. And sin brings shame and it brings guilt. The gift of righteousness, it sets us free from guilt and shame. And when you put on the breastplate, it allows you to stand before Almighty God without any sense of shame and guilt. I want you to follow along. The reason why we run from God is because of guilt. The reason why we separate ourselves from the things of God is because of guilt. And guilt and shame were introduced to this world through Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember what Adam was doing after he disobeyed when the Father came down to fellowship with him? The Bible says that he was hiding. He was hiding from Almighty God, his creator, the one who loved him, the one who helped him, the one who created him. He's hiding. Why is he hiding? He's hiding because of shame and guilt. What the gift of righteousness does is it gives us back our right standing before Almighty God that we had before Adam and Eve disobeyed in the Garden of Eden. What Jesus does is he takes us back to the Garden of Eden, and through Jesus' righteousness, through his perfection, he turns around and he gives us his own righteousness so that we can stand as guilty as you are. As sinful as you are, we can stand before Almighty God with no sense of shame or guilt. In theology, this is called imputed righteousness. This is Jesus, who was sinless. He was perfect, and he fulfilled all righteousness. But what he does is he transfers his righteousness onto us, so that the moment you repent from your sins and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father puts a robe of righteousness around you, and he puts on Jesus's righteousness, so that from that moment on, the Father no longer sees you. He no longer sees you. You know who the Father sees when he looks at you? He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. Listen. If you get a revelation of this, man, it will revolutionize your whole life, that as believers, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We don't have to walk around with shame no matter what you did. You don't have to walk around with guilt no matter what you did. That we are clothed with the righteousness of God. Hear me today, my brothers and sisters. One of the probably the most radical thing that the gospel does is that it justifies sinners. The most radical thing that the gospel of the kingdom does is that it justifies the ungodly. Think about that for a second. You know what justify means? One definition of justify means just as if I never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. God, through the gift of righteousness, justifies ungodly people. It is radical. It is shocking, in so much the devil doesn't want you to get a revelation of it. He doesn't want you to understand. He wants you to be tied to your past. He wants you to be tied to your sin. But I want to declare to you that what Jesus did on the cross is greater than what Adam did in the garden. It is greater than what Adam did. Jesus' obedience is greater than Adam's disobedience. And I'm going to say something radical to you today, but you got to get it, is that I no longer identify with Adam because he represents shame and sin. I identify with Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is my righteousness. I gotta help somebody understand it, because the enemy is tying you to your past sin, and you have a sin consciousness instead of a righteousness consciousness. You have a sin consciousness, and most of us, because we were so deep in sin, we've developed this sin consciousness that even though we've been set free, the enemy still ties us to our past. But today I want to declare that God wants to cut the ties from your past. And I'm gonna give you an extreme example. And I'm gonna talk like family. Can I talk like family? You ain't gonna judge me, are you? And don't walk out the back door either. I'm gonna give you an extreme example, because sometimes we sanitize the gospel. Sometimes we make things look too pretty that we don't get it. You are looking at a convicted murderer. Let that sink in. You are looking at a convicted murderer. I caused a funeral. I caused a funeral. I made people cry. I got people that look at me as a monster. You understand? Don't let this suit fool you. There are some people that look at me as a monster. I'm bringing it home to you because I want you to see how good God loves you. I am a convicted murderer. How in the world do I today get to work with mayors and politicians and leaders? How in the world? I got a message the other day from a president of a university in Illinois. They said, Brian, we're going to fly you down to Illinois, and I want you to teach my teachers. I want you to teach my school. How in the world does that happen to a convicted murderer? You know how? God justifies the sinners. God justifies the ungodly people. It is only because of the righteousness of Jesus that has been placed on me that I can have my head up high. And listen, I want to tell you something. I've been learning this for 20 years, so it's a little bit easier for me than it would be for you at this moment. So don't think you're going to catch this right now, because you're not. The devil still bombards me with condemnation and guilt and shame. But I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been meditating upon this for 20 years. And so I want to give you a prescription today. I don't want to just help you right now. I want to help you next week. You need to get up into that word, and you need to find out who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to find out who you are in Jesus, that you are not the person they say you are. You are not defined by your past mistakes. You are not defined by the world. You are defined by the blood of Jesus, and the King of Kings has made you right. He's made you right. He's made you right. I can't explain to you, but I'll tell you one thing. We came up. We came up, my brother. We came up. And this is why. You better be serving the Lord with all your heart. This is why we obey Him. This is why we strive to meet His standard. Not because of anything else, but because of what He's done in our heart. He showed us mercy when we didn't deserve mercy. He made us right, brothers and sisters. He made us right. He did it. I don't understand it, but I know we came up. This is why I preach holiness. This is why I preach you better live right, because of what Jesus has already done. Don't allow what He done on the cross to go in vain. He made us right. Listen, some of y'all mothers wouldn't make you right, but Jesus made us the outcasts of the outcasts. Some of us have been victimized. Some of us have victimized other people. The outcast of the outcast. He made us right. Man, I can't even, I'm not, it's crazy. It's crazy. And so, when I put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? When I put on the full armor of God, when the devil sees me, he doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. Yeah, anybody ever seen them old movies with the knights? You don't know who's behind that armor. You don't know who's behind that armor. You put on that full armor of God, the devil sees Jesus. You take off the armor, that's where he sees you, and he goes after you. And so when I got my full armor on, everywhere I go, I expect a blessing. I expect a blessing. Everywhere I go, I know the devil reminds me all the time, you're a convicted killer. It doesn't matter. Jesus died for me and set me free. Jesus died for me and set me free. And so when I go somewhere, I don't care who's in the room. I don't care who's in the room. I put my head up high and I walk with my chest out. And I don't apologize, because Jesus made me right. Jesus made me right. I expect a blessing. I expect doors to open up. I expect favor to flow into my life, not because of what I've done. I ain't done nothing but cause Jesus to die on that cross. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus done. I'm not letting an ounce of what Jesus did in vain. I'm not letting an ounce of what he did go in vain. No, no, I want it all. I want it all, God. I want it all. I'm going to end with this. Many of you know, 6 months ago, we launched our Carson campus, and we've been experiencing revival over there. We've been experiencing revival. People surrendering to the Lord. People getting baptized. Man, there was rival gang members, people from killing one another, all in the same place, worshiping the same Lord. That's revival right there. And 3 weeks ago, I got this letter in the mail. Well, actually, I didn't get it in the mail. Somebody gave it to me. I'm glad I forgot who gave it to me because it wasn't good news. I'm going to read part of it to you, okay? Because even when we get bad news, we expect blessings. You understand me? Doesn't mean you're not going to have any bad news. It just means that you're going to have confidence in the Lord that he's going to work everything out. Listen to this. It says, Dear Pastor Worth, in compliance with paragraph 3, terms of the above subject, church facilities use agreement, you are hereby given the required 30 days notice that the above said church facilities use agreement shall be terminated on April 30th, 2018. In other words, you got 30 days to move. And it's terminated April 30th. I want you to remember that. April 30th. For some reason, the devil wanted me to be afraid of April 30th. What are we going to do? April 30th. What are we going to do? We got 200 people over there. Where are we going to go? April 30th. Do we got to close up shop? What's going to happen? April 30th. It's going to be terminated April 30th. Now, God knew what he was going to do April 30th, although he did not tell me. And let me tell you something. He has the right not to tell me. And I'm going to tell you that oftentimes God is not going to tell you the future. You know why? Because he wants you to learn to trust in him. He wants you to learn to put your faith in him. Listen, April 30th, God didn't want to tell me. And it's not my job to figure out what God is going to do. My job is to trust him. My God is to obey him. My job is to obey him. My job is to obey. But I like to believe that when you get ready to go to another level, I like to believe that God is like a karate sensei sometimes. He blindfolds you. Yeah. He blindfolds you and he says, listen, I need you to learn how to fight in the dark. I see, God never forsakes you, but sometimes he disarms your ability to discern him. And he puts the blindfolds on so that you can learn how to fight in the dark if you want to go to the next level. That's a word for somebody right there. Because he knew what was going to happen April 30th. I didn't know. But I was believing. We were believing. We were trusting. And guess what? We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You ain't about to kick out God's people and get away with it. I know that for sure. You ain't about to stomp us out and get away with it. So we're trusting. We're believing, and I'm here to testify on April 30th, not a day later or a day sooner. April, God, I want you to come sooner. I want you to come sooner. No, I'm going to come when I want to come. On April 30th, I met a realtor, and a realtor, after some discussions for a couple weeks, 2 weeks, he held out the keys to our brand new permanent building in the city of Carson. April 30th. The devil wanted us to be afraid of April 30th, but guess what? We are hereby declaring April 30th a holiday in the kingdom of God. He done messed up.
April 30th, last Monday, the realtor handed me the keys to our permanent building. And not only that, we're doubling down in the city of Carson. The devil ain't going to run us out. The devil ain't going to run us out. We're launching two Sunday services on Sunday. Next week is our grand opening. And listen, I kid you not. I kid you not. The realtor, I kid you not. He handed me the keys. And he was standing right there. We were in the middle of the sanctuary. And he says, Brian, this thing happened so fast that I feel like I'm missing something. He told me that. He says, I feel, it just feels like I'm missing something, but I know I'm not missing something. And I said in my heart, I said, listen, that is the favor of God right there manifesting for Chapel of Change. Listen, my brothers and sisters, listen, if you are a believer in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ, Jesus has given you his righteousness. He will never love you more than he loves you today. You don't have to earn his love. You don't have to earn his love. He's already given it to you, and now we must walk in it every single day. Don't allow the devil to tie you to your past. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. For the next couple moments, I want us to reflect upon how the Lord spoke to you today. How did the Lord speak to you? What was the Lord telling you today? Let's bow our heads and reflect upon the Word of God. If you need to cry, cry. Tears are part of the purifying work of the Holy Spirit. Let's reflect upon how the Lord spoke to us.